podcasting to the world.
This plan was put together by God and Jesus before the creation of anything else.
The gospel of grace.
You are the thing that was in the mind of God.
The gospel of peace. That was Mike Williams. And this is the Gospel Revolution.
Someone apocalypsed me. I never felt like this before.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for Thursday, August 10, 2017, broadcasting from the home of Redemptionism, where we love every train of thought visiting our station of freedom. We're coming to you today from the Gospel Revolution studios right here in Eva, Alabama, thanks to the generosity of GR executive producers Jimmy and Carrie McCollum. But right now, from Palm Beach Gardens in Florida, bringing you more consistent, persistent, repetitive CPR of the gospel is the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. Hello, Mr. Michael. How are you?
I'm doing good. Did you say August the 10th?
I can't believe it, mate. I mean, we just got through saying, how did this year go so fast? And that was 2016.
No, you're missing the whole point.
Oh, well, I do that, you know.
I know.
You're talking to a very slow... You shouldn't say things like this quickly because you could confuse a very slow learner.
It is becoming more and more obvious, but...
Well, I hit it so well for so long. It's just gotten so tiresome trying anymore.
August the 10th comes before August the 16th.
Oh, dear.
See there?
Yeah. Now, you do call me friend. Actually, it's a begging kind of a thing more than anything else. But
with a little whimper in the back of my voice, right?
Yes. Look, if we do it for you, we got to do it for everyone.
No, that's not true.
It is. I mean, if I say happy birthday to the boss, I'm going to have to say happy birthday to everyone to keep this egalitarian and totally on an even playing field.
But we're not on an even playing field. My birthday is most important.
Mate, I listened to myself the other day and I couldn't believe that three or four years ago I said, I couldn't care if the world stopped. It's my birthday yesterday and that's all that matters. All right, so it's your birthday.
Yeah, it's my birthday coming
Which one?
Up. Wow, this is really crazy. Number 65. And here we are and there we go. What do you say to this stuff? So how are you today?
No. I know that you want me to switch to how I am, but really
because you're older than me. That's why I want to switch.
In your heart of heart, well, not any longer. But for
you still are 6 more days,
mate. After October 13, guess what? You'll be calling me sir again.
So well, I have to do that all the time anyway.
Well, that's only because you recognize gold when you see it, mate.
I know superiority when I'm around it.
So, yes, I'm very superior. Yes, I have this superior attitude. Hey, how the heck are you anyway?
I'm doing good.
You're approaching your 65th with great health and keen alacrity?
Well, you know, I am. After 2 months of
being a cot case.
Unbelievable. From minor but severe minor. Health issues from very severe health issues to the point of being hospitalized. None of them connected to the other one. It was just a couple of them were connected by my attempt to remedy the last one caused the next one. So,
oh boy, you really need a birthday.
I need a restart button. That's what I need.
A reboot.
Not a birthday. Yes. I need to get born again. Again.
A reboot is what you need, brother.
But no, but I've goodness.
If you lift your hands up and say, "Jesus, fill me."
There you go.
I promise I can get you rebooted.
The floodgates will come open. No, but I do feel good. It's, nothing like getting proper treatment for minor ailments and getting excellent treatment for major ailments, which I've had both of those.
Turning 65 ain't no minor ailment. I mean,
it's a major ailment.
Serious, yeah.
It's life-threatening ailment, in fact. So.
Now we're talking.
But it's good. I'm very glad to report that I not only feel well, I feel healthy. I am back in the gym. So tell me how your week's been.
Oh, it's been great. I got more fire ants all over my hand, this time from the kitchen sink, believe it or not. I got fire ants in the kitchen bloody sink. How would you be? Yesterday, we had a wonderful day in the country. We're out in the county here. We called it beer, burgers, bullets, and buddies. And or at least I called it that. I don't think anyone else heard. So we've had a good time, mate. And
well, that's summertime in Alabama.
I'm looking forward to being 66.
Well, yeah, that's uneventful though. I mean, 65 is eventful. 66 is not eventful.
It is when it steals a march on you, my friend.
Gospel Revolution.
Hey, Michael, this week we had, now you actually sent this to me from Ray Allen, and I'll read it out, and Rayford, his name is?
Yes.
Hello, Michael. You and your ministry has done so much for me and my family. I don't feel any guilt if for one Sunday I don't attend church. For me now, I'm confident that I can judge the teachings of any person if it doesn't line up with the scriptures. So much I have learned since I found your ministry about what the scriptures mean and that the New Testament is not scripture. Mm. Thank you for revealing the gospel to those who want the truth, because as the verse goes, the truth will set you free. And then I saw something else from PayPal. And where does Rayford live? Out in the Bahamas somewhere?
Rayford is from Belize.
Oh, Belize. Central America, I guess.
Yes, it is. I think on the northeast corner of South America. And we get these little notes more and more frequently than ever before. Something is truly happening in the gospel revolution around the world. People's lives are being impacted. Rayford sent this email. I did respond to him. He very graciously wrote back again. It sent in a contribution to the ministry from Belize. On PayPal.
And this was, we never heard of this man.
No, never. No way of knowing exactly how he found us, but people are finding us.
Mm.
That is for sure. And they are talking. And now what this has done in my bit of communication with him, this is causing a real stir in Belize about the gospel and his friends and church friends and pastors. And so now this controversy about the gospel has sprung up there. One of the things about Rayford's email that excited me so very much is that he got what everyone needs to understand to continue growing in the gospel. And that is, what are the scriptures? Look what he said. I am now able to do what Paul said in Corinthians, to judge every single teaching I hear, whether or not it is truth. Wow.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, Paul said that we'd be able to do that. Paul said that with the wisdom of God, which teaches us that God gives us all things freely, which came out in the rebroadcast, I loved that. I mean, you know, we had a horrific time trying to record. Then it failed. Then you've spent hours, and Randy French, all the forces were called in. we had to just trash that recording altogether, but you put up the old one.
Yeah, you're talking about last week.
Yes.
When we recorded a perfectly wonderful show. It may have been one of the best we've ever done.
And we replaced it with one of the best we've ever done, though.
Yeah. Yeah, how was that? Man, that was good.
And I heard things I've never heard before. I heard me explain things I've never heard before. I'm turning 65, okay? So I don't even remember what I've said. But we went through the wisdom of God and the qualifications of what Paul said about knowing and understanding truth and the criteria. I hadn't thought about that ever since we've done that. And of course, I did that series long before that. But Paul laid out the criteria for knowing and understanding the truth of the gospel. And that really is what Rayford is making reference to here, that he can now judge all of this. I got this email from him that he made this donation to PayPal before we rebroadcast this segment. It must have blown him away, unless somehow he picked that one out of all the thousands of possible listening material, the Pillars of Wisdom series, and pulled out the Paul's criteria for knowing truth, because that's what he is making reference to. So we broadcast that then the very next week after his contribution and our awareness of him through the PayPal contribution came in. And this is so exciting, folks. Let me tell you, now I don't go through the agony and the torment of the technical issues of doing this PowerCast. That solely falls on the shoulders of Don Bartlett. By the time you figure out what the problem is, who the problem is, what machine, what malfunctioned, I mean, it can take hours. It can take days. He and Randy have been online together trying to figure out what has happened. And you can't delete this out, Don. I want people to know. I couldn't possibly pay Don for the hours that he has, the days he's put into just trying to resolve this technical problem that came up, which led to another technical problem, which led to another situation. And Randy French, who we pay nothing whatsoever, diligently staying on with him, going through the forensics of this failed PowerCast to find out what the problem was. I disappear, and all of a sudden in the background, all of this work starts taking place. I'm aware of that. I want everybody to know. I do know that people like Don, like Randy, like so many of you, are putting in so much effort into this. And, you know, hey, I'm in South Florida. I'm having fun. So many of you do so much. We're in the last week of our pledge drive because of the week that I had to take out for health issues. And we'll be wrapping that up and letting you know more about it on the next PowerCast. But here in the middle of all of this incredible turmoil of technical difficulties and all of that, bam, drops right in our lap this gift from Belize. From a gentleman that we've never known of, never heard of. This is easy for me to say. They don't tell me the technical things because they know I don't understand it. I don't want to hear it. I glaze over. They can talk and I just sit and stare. You know, it's white noise to me. But the gratefulness that I have in my heart for Don, for Randy, for everybody, all the effort Jeff ever put into this. I'm just so grateful.
And still does.
And still does, yes. Still pulls our butt out of the fire at the last moment. And we really are just tremendously grateful. And those of you that I've talked to on the phone during this pledge drive, just the most amazing things in the world. People reminding me, my gosh, I just got an email yesterday. We'll probably have it on next week's PowerCast from a lady who was a part of setting up the meeting for me and Jim Richards to come to Edmonton, Alberta. I haven't heard from her in probably at least a decade. And she sends this beautiful email saying how that she had gotten away from the gospel revolution and the teachings. And so, but now she's reconnected. She's listening to the PowerCast. I hope she's listening right now. Her name is Vivian. She was trying to explain to me who she was. And it's like, sweetheart, you don't have to explain to me who you are. Oh my gosh, this woman put in so much effort. She came down to Calgary to stand behind the tape table and sell tapes and carried boxes. And oh, and here she is thinking that she's got to explain to me who she was, that I forgot. I don't forget, folks. Not these things. I don't forget these things. And the effort and the labor from every part and corner of the world. We've come so far, but folks, we're standing in a place to where that the horizon is in front of us. It's not behind us. This horizon is so fully in front of us of learning and knowledge and understanding a gospel that was designed. It was designed to transform existence on planet Earth. Get that. This gospel was not given to start a new religion. This gospel was given to us through the work of the cross, through Jesus Christ, through a virgin birth, a life, a death, a burial, and a resurrection, foretold, predestined, planned by God before he ever spoke these worlds into existence. There is a gospel that was designed to make life something that it is that we have failed to see just yet. So obviously, the biggest part of our work lays in front of us. That's where it is. And I see that so clearly. So here in the middle of all of these difficulties and, I'm sitting at my kitchen table, you know, doing this PowerCast. Don is sitting in a corner of his living room. I'm watching him there right now. And the efforts and the, and we've been on for an hour and a half before we got to where that we had to knock out some more kinks and wrinkles from between here and there or in the air, in the sky. Half the time you don't know what in the world's going on that's causing these difficulties. And I know I'm kind of on a rant here, but you're going to have to put up with it because, like I said, in the middle of all of this, then here I hear a voice from the past, Vivian, trying to explain who she is when she's so lodged in my heart. There is no way I would ever forget this woman. I remember her smile. Goodness, her, she, so gentle, so kind to everybody that she was ever around. Lost contact with us, now back, absolutely thrilled with what she's hearing, and said, you know, that the thing, the predestination series, she's listening to that. And she says, this is only further confirming the things that I have been and still am learning. So we are reconnecting with the past of the gospel revolution. And then on the other hand, we have this email drop in from Belize, an impact that's happening in another part of the world. Please be excited. Don't let me buy with having all the excitement here, because this is fantastic. And Don, thank you so much for what you do. You know that I love you, and I love you just because of you. But if I loved you because of what you do, I don't have space for that type of love. I don't know how to show it. I don't know how to say thank you, but thank you.
Wow. And I can't delete that, huh?
Nope, you cannot.
Well, let me say your own words back to you, if I can, Michael. You sent me an email this week. And it went something like this. And I believe you sent me this in relation to last week's PowerCast, which was, as you said, a mashup of two of the PowerCasts we did in relation to the seven pillars of wisdom. And these were Predestination 1 and Predestination 2. And as I listened to it through, I was thinking, wow, that's really good stuff. Gosh, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
And anyway, you wrote to me after you heard it, leveled. That is the first word that comes from listening to the PowerCast, leveled. Leveled to the most common denominator, human raised to him that is highest, God. A couple other words, honored, privileged to know this glorious gospel, in absolute amazement that I get to hear it on this show. Complete and total unbelief that I somehow and by all means get to teach it. Thank you, Don, and everyone who in any smallest way give clarity and expression to this gospel. Mike, I just say the same thing back to you. The fact that I have any part, and I'm pretty sure that anyone who has anything to do with the gospel feels the same way. The fact that we have any part in being able to disseminate this good news, in able to spread the word of this gospel, we all feel the same way.
Yeah.
We just sit back in quiet amazement and total gratitude that we are able to participate in getting the word out. Really are.
We all do, for sure.
Now, I want to read you what I got from Phil Britton this week. Phil wrote, I had no idea that you and Mike would take up my email on the purchase during your podcast. 2 weeks ago, we read Phil's take and we named a PowerCast after it. Slaves have no say.
Yeah.
They don't get a receipt for their purchase. They don't have any say in their sale. And that was the basis for the for the little message that Phil sent us. And it was so extraordinarily expressive and just simple explanation.
Just clarity.
Oh, total. Total. So if you haven't listened to 2 weeks back, listen to it. You'll hear it in the first half of the show, so you don't have to wait for long. He said, what can I say other than I was happily shocked that you did bring it up on your PowerCast. When I heard how quickly you both got it, the hair stood straight up on the back of my neck. I had a smile glued to my face that is still there even now. The purchase has been on my front burner for some time. Who doesn't know that we were bought with the blood of Christ, yet there was still something awkward, something unclear in the explanation of it. Christianity has a field day with the lack of clarity. They're so clever with their use of misdirection, filling the atmosphere with the familiar. You must pick up your receipt. You must accept the payment. The anatomy of the purchase ends the controversy once and for all. Christianity showed up too long after the fact to argue for its doctrine of you must first believe. They were too late on the scene to make obedience a necessary condition for eternal life. Jesus got it done while man was still in his helpless estate, eliminating any opportunity for dissension and debate. As he finished saying the words, "It is finished," his death and perfect blood sealed the purchase, even as the ownership of mankind was transferred in the blink of an eye.
Wow, wow, wow.
In the blink of an eye, in the, what is that word?
The twinkling of an eye.
There, thank you, yes. To the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, the law of sin and death collapsed, never to be heard from again. The purchase even ends the mystery surrounding the elect, as defined by the Calvinists. Phil, P.S., Mike, Beth and I are grateful every day for your book one.
Oh.
It was instrumental in our finding total freedom in the finished work of the cross.
What do you say to this stuff?
No, you don't say anything. You just say, what do you say? Yeah.
And to all of my well-meaning friends who think that the day that I, let me see if I can do this right, slip off the planet and don't come home for soup.
That's it. You got it, mate. You got it.
That there's somehow going to be an interruption in the understanding or the flow or the progression of the gospel. You can't listen to this. Hey, honey, I could take my last breath right now and be absolutely convinced that the gospel is going to be just fine. What clarity. Goodness gracious. I have no ability to write like this. None whatsoever. I have to get a team together to write down something. But look at this, folks. Look at this beautiful clarity. You see, the gospel truly is fractal in nature. Once you know one, all you have to know of the gospel is clearly understand one single principle of truth of the gospel. Just one. Just one. All the rest falls into place. Now, what falls into place? What falls away is everything that's not the gospel, and you begin to see it. We may have mentioned this recently. I think it's Michelangelo that looked at a chunk of granite. He had gone out to the granite mines and picked out the granite he was going to use to do the statue of David. And he said, right there's the statue of David. And the guy's standing there who was going to have to haul this thing back in says, that's just a chunk of granite. He said, no, David's in there. And they said, well, what do you mean David's in there? He says, well, all I have to do is chip away everything that's not David.
Yeah.
And that is so thrilling. Folks, all you have to do is to have that concept, a single fractal concept of the gospel in your mind. And from there, just start letting all of this other stuff be chipped away that is not the gospel. If you took Mr. Britton's one email here, this single email, this email could be the foundation of the gospel going around the earth in clarity in all of its subjects. Now, he's addressed just one subject, and that is this issue of a purchased slave. But he has done it so accurately in the context of Scripture and of what the gospel is that if you tried to teach about sin and didn't define that sin has been done away with, it would never fit with this story. There's no way it would ever fit. If you tried to teach on judgment, if you tried to teach on righteousness, the end of the world, any of them, you see, all you could do then, once you've got this single concept that Mr. Britton has given us, is just let everything else chip away and fall away that's not the gospel. We're not that smart. We're not that brilliant. The only thing we do is sit and watch Christianity erode away from that which is the gospel, and we look at what's left. That's really all we do. It's just like with Michelangelo. David was always inside that piece of granite. He was already there. You just got to make sure that you don't take away a part of David while you're letting all the other stuff fall off. It's a beautiful picture. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. Whatever the world has ever known, the parting of the Red Sea, the creation of the world, stringing the stars in the sky, axe heads floating up in a pond, blind eyes opening, whatever you might conceive, the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ coming out of the grave, a virgin birth, all of those things. Now, all of that, you say, well, that's the power of God. That's not how it's expressed anymore. That's how it was expressed. Now it has one, please understand, the power of God has one expression now. It's called the gospel. Is. Not a source of God's power. The gospel is not how you get to God's power. The gospel is not what gives you God's power. The gospel is the power of God. It is. It is the power of God. So when we hear things like this, folks, man, be proud of the gospel revolution. You should be so incredibly proud. You should be proud of every dollar. Those of you that have been contributing in this pledge drive, man, be proud of every dollar you were able to give. You may want to call back and say, man, I want to double that now. But this is so amazing. We love what we're doing. You love what we're doing. You love what you're doing, which is living. Just think about it, folks. You're living for the first time in your life. I've been on the phone with you guys. I'm getting your emails. I listen, and listening is one of my favorite things to do. I know most of you think that talking is one of my favorite things to do, but it really isn't. Listening is my very favorite thing to do. And in listening, I have heard. I've heard your voice. You have encouraged me so much that we not only have impacted your life, we're impacting lives from around the world. I just got an email from one of my other friends in our friends in Alabama are just coming out of the woodwork. I mean, it's just amazing. They're just popping up everywhere. People who were associated with Jim Richards' church there in Huntsville, Alabama, his family members. It's just amazing. I mean, I'm getting this incredible response from these guys, and they're so grateful. They're just so grateful, and they're living good lives and content lives and lives to where that they know they have a future in whatever they determine that they want it to be. They can change their life today if they want to. They're, some of them are getting older. Now, not the ones that I talk to on the phone. So none of those are getting older. So. But had to be strategic here. But we all know that we still have opportunities. I'm turning 65, and the reality that I could make decisions that would change my life. I could move to another country. I could go down. I could go rent a storefront and start sharing the gospel on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. I can do anything. I can do anything that I want. It is just the gospel is the power of God, my friends. And you're hearing it. We're talking about it on a daily basis on the phone, in the pledge drive, through the PowerCast, through all of these. We resurrect one of these things that I guess I was 62 years old when we did this recording from what I could hear on it. I think I actually said that I was 62 years old and hear one of the most powerful things I've ever heard in my life. And it's like, we keep saying the same thing over and over and over in a different way, but that is the power of the gospel. That is its fractal nature.
There is a place, and it's deep within, and it's been there all the time. And there is a path that I've never walked, for my eyes have been too blind. Oh, but now is the day, yes, the time has come, and I know without a doubt that he's taking me back to the place in him, and it's coming from the inside out. From the inside out, he is cleansing my house. He's removing the tears from the weeds.
This week we heard from Matt Perry to give him his full nomenclature. That would be Matthew Eric Perry. Matt Perry says, Mike and Don, thank you so much for your consistent and true ministry of your work in the weekly PowerCast. The CPR of the good news, what's the CPR mean, mate?
Consistent, persistent, repetitive.
The CPR of the good news of Christ's completed mission keeps my mind and heart renewed and helps me view the Bible from refreshing perspectives. Mm. I've heard Randy French's words on past shows and even met him at a Tampa convention. This week I was blown away by the gospel as read by him straight out of the Bible that Christianity uses to condemn me. It is amazing how much truth speaks to us once the blinders of religion are removed, freeing us to welcome the depth of God's grace and love. That sounds to me like it was exactly what you were just saying, mate.
Yeah, exactly. It's just this stripping away, and that's what the gospel does. I remember when I finally got this part of the gospel, I remember saying it for the first time, that the gospel adds nothing to your life. The power of the gospel is in what it removes from your life. I have never said a truer statement that I stand behind still to this date, after all of this time, that the gospel adds nothing. Everything that needed to be added, whatever that may have been, was done through the work of the cross. The gospel is good news. Good news can only strip away that which is not. And that's what it does. So it is this removal process. If you're trying to get rich by hearing the gospel, you'll never know truth. If you're trying to get healed by hearing the gospel, you'll never know the truth. If you're trying to have a better marriage by knowing the gospel, you'll never know the truth. The truth is for freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And as was quoted to us earlier by one of the other people that wrote in, you shall know the truth, and the truth makes free. So it is this position of freedom. Do you find it strange that we don't tell you how or what to do at all, ever, about anything?
Or what you should not do if you want us to keep liking you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the gospel is the power of God, but its power is in what it takes away, not what it adds.
Gospel Revolution.
We are, let me see, coming up hard on our new Canada Calvary. Calvary.
At Calgary.
Our new conference in Calgary, Alberta. Now, in this, you're going to be hearing Mike Williams do something I haven't heard him do, actually. Now, I've heard him do it in little bits and bobbits, but I haven't heard him. Look, if you want to hear Mike Williams speak on the book of James, you need to be there in Calgary, September 15, 16, 17 at the Carriage House Inn, Friday 7 p.m., Saturday 10, 2 and 7 p.m., and Sunday at 10 a.m. Now, you need to be there. You just need to be there. Well, look, even if you book into a hotel around there that's cheaper, even if you sleep on the streets and just come in for breakfast, you know, you can do that. You can. And at breakfast, you'll meet the likes of Mike and other people who you only hear about on our podcast. So September 15, 16, 17, if you need, call our Florida number, our office number. It's at the end of the show. And we will give you the number to call to make your booking. And just mention Grace Conferences and you'll get a nice little discount off your booking. This week, from the friends of Mike Williams, I wrote this. Christianity has had 2,000 years to right its wrongs, fix its faults, win the world, and prove its worth. Am I to believe that it's actually capable of reforming itself? Ever? Have you noticed that Christianity is really good at rightly dividing the word of truth so that it can wrongly divide itself and us? When I want a shame-based behavior modification system so badly that I cannot live without it, sure, I'll go back to church. When I want to be once again under a burden of guilt because I can never live up to the demands of the law, then absolutely, I'll go back to church. When I want to be mesmerized by claims that Jesus did it all, but I have to finish the work by saying some magic prayer that is nowhere in the Bible, sure, I'll go back to church. And when I want my money to be extracted under false pretenses, for purposes never once seen in the Bible, I will certainly rush back to church. 6.5 decades as a participant, pastor, and more has convinced me of one thing. Christianity has as much chance at reforming itself as a police department has the chance of honestly investigating itself. Orthodoxy is oxymoronic, And by heavens, if there is one thing at which all brands of orthodoxy are blasting each other with from their creedal trenches, it is that they are the ones and the only ones who correctly hear the voice of God. They all claim that the selfsame Holy Spirit has most certainly led them to their variously highly divergent positions from which they would gladly kill each other, as history proves. Multiple thousands of schisms and sects all claiming to be the voice of God and reason. Too amazing. Amusing by far.
Yeah, goodness, amazing. And let me say that anyone who is looking to the gospel to make a fortune, you will never know the truth either.
Michael, this week we heard from Mike Turi, and he said, he wrote this in The Friends of Mike Williams and the whole and the Gospel Revolution, which is a Facebook group. And if you want to find it, just simply type that in, Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. If you want a slightly tardier place, a bit of a dirtier place, we have very dark lighting in there, and it's Gospel Revolution private group.
Sounds like a seedy place.
It's kind of seedy. We try to keep everything. Well, we try to keep the religious people out is what we try to do, mate.
Yeah.
And Michael says, any thoughts on Luke 16:16 concerning the law and the prophets were until John? The law and the prophets. Now, this is Jesus speaking, and he says the law and the prophets were until John. And we're going to look that up now because being very biblically oriented as we are, 16:16. And Jesus said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is being pressed into it. Let me just check the Greek on that. But if I remember right, and every man.
Oh, I bet I know.
Is being forced into it.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's awesome. It's just like the love of God constraineth us. It's not the same word, but the same concept. Mm-hmm. Being corralled, we use the term corralled when we talk about this subject. I was just opened my Bible. For some reason, it opens right up to Romans, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief. My Bible falls open there. no matter where I am, if my Bible falls open, it falls open there. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Well, you know, there's a lot in this. On face value, there is a tremendous amount. Now, I think it's interesting, without getting into things, I've started doing some research in this area, the term abomination. And lo and behold, look what shows up here in this verse. Now, Jesus has made the statement in verse 16. Let's just look at the statement. Let's drop back to verse 14. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. this is after he'd made the statement, you can't serve God and mammon. This is a long sermon from Jesus. The prodigal son is in it. There's a tremendous amount of information in here. Starts, of course, in chapter 15, and he spake this parable unto them, saying. So he starts there. He is continuing to speak all the way through chapter 15, which has 32 verses, to the same group of people in chapter 16. And he said also unto his disciples. So he has not left out the original group. He is now speaking also to his disciples. He's continuing this whole thing about the parables. Now, when the Pharisees, and you can see he was still talking to the Pharisees also, but chapter 15 says he was also, he wasn't speaking exclusively to the Pharisees. He was speaking to the Pharisees and the disciples. But there was one group of those that got mad. And that was the Pharisees, as it says in verse 14. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. I want to know what the word covetous means there. Do you? I know you've got your...
Phlegros.
What were they experiencing?
The best English word would be avaricious, or grasping, or where can I make a buck out of this sort of thing. Fond of silver, Strong tells us, fond of silver.
Wow. So money being the very basis of religion, of course.
Well, yeah, yeah. It's by the way, its prefix is philo. Yeah. As we know, that's philo is brotherly or brother, like Philadelphia.
Yeah.
These people were brothers with making money.
All they care about is getting money, 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 money. Even retail stores give people more respect than that. I don't understand why we've become so commercialized with religion. What does this have to do with God?
Yes, and here they are hearing somebody who has the ability to get people's attention and have their ear, and they're thinking, how can we turn this into a money-making machine? Kind of like our email that we got a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Or like Simon the Magician in the days of Acts.
Yes, exactly. So we've got this picture of who we're talking to, the information. This is parables going about the kingdom of God. And then Jesus says to them, and they derided him. So now, tell us what that word, what were they doing to Jesus? So they were having these envious feelings as to this man can speak. Man, can this man speak? But be careful about what he says. I've kind of heard stuff like that before in my life. He's very persuasive, but watch out.
Well, this was more than that, mate. This was ekmuterezo means they just sneered at him.
Oh, wow.
They were name calling little sneerers.
Wow.
Which most small people are.
Wondering how they could turn this into a buck.
Yeah, really, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, we will do this until you let us in on the secret to where that we can make money off of it.
All they care about is getting money, 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 money.
And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. Whoa. What a powerful, powerful statement. Now, these are people involved in a religion called Judaism, all right?
Mm.
This is the Pharisees. He has rubbed them the wrong way, and they are responding to him.
Hey, mate, you remember the widow who gave a last farthing, a last mite, a last coin?
Yep.
I've often thought, you know, these healing ministries, what kind of word faith or prosperity gospel ministries, what would induce a widow to give her very last mite? Mm-hmm. Unless it was covetous, money-grubbing Pharisees,
mm-hmm.
who found virtue something to be derided and told people if they gave, they would get.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can ever think of that would induce that widow to have given a last mite. Well, you give it and God will see you and he will reward you.
Yeah, so you're saying this isn't a new doctrine then, huh?
Yeah, I can't imagine why Christianity took so many millennia to come up with this stuff.
I think it's always been around, but it's not been so universally embraced. You know, the Baptists used to reject this resoundingly. The Methodists did. Most major denominations until the Word of Faith movement came along. And then it was like these Pharisees, they were covetous.
Dang.
Of the fact that these Word of Faith people were raking in the dough and these pastors were getting by on meager salaries.
Where do I sign up?
Excuse me?
Where do I sign up?
I know. Yeah. Now, all right, so Jesus opens with this in his response to their deriding him and their covetous position. Ye are they which justify yourselves. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So we've got, he's identified the problem. All right. That's what logic is for. It is for problem resolution.
And remember, that word comes from diakonos, or it's a verbal form of the word justify. And it is, you are they which righteousify yourselves before men. Justify, righteous, same word in the Greek. You are they who make yourselves righteous before men.
Yes. And by what means would they have been making themselves righteous before men? It would have been through God's law. They would have been claiming to and aspiring to keep God's law. This is very important. This is very revealing when you read these things finally in the context that they are written, which I'm doing that with these verses right now for the very first time in my whole life. I've never read these in context. I've never had the men sitting across from me and my computer to say, what does this word mean, without me stopping and trying to figure it out myself. All right, so these are Pharisees. These are people of the Jewish religion. These are people who are justified. Self-justification comes from the law. You know, you might say, oh, well, these guys were just the worst of the worst of the ilk. And in a manner, they were. But as far as doing what they understood to be the thing that they were supposed to do, which is try to keep God's law to be just, that's what they said right when God gave them the law. Their response to God giving the law was, and this shall be our righteousness. This isn't a new thing. Jesus didn't come in on the scene when suddenly people were trying to justify themselves through God's law. This started immediately after Moses gave the law. So Jesus is addressing something that's been around ever since Moses gave the law. This is the first response that the Jewish people gave to God's law. And this shall be our righteousness. Jesus is pointing out a fact. You are they. We know you. I know who you are. You've been doing it now for a couple thousand years or more. You're that group that justifies themselves with God's law before men. But God knows your hearts. Oh, I'm sorry, knoweth.
You turn me on when you go old King Jimmy.
But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Are we addressing doing dirty deeds here? Are we addressing sex, drugs, and rock and roll, abomination in the sight of God? Are we addressing homosexuality here? Something here is an abomination in the sight of God. These people are trying to establish their righteousness as Pharisees through God's law.
And that's the only way they could have done it, really. You are those which righteousify, justify yourselves before men. And the law is the only way, really, in that culture this could have been done.
And Isaiah made it clear that in the eyes of God, no one ever became righteous through God's law. None are righteous, no, not one. So let's get the picture. This is the stage. The stage is set. The characters are in place. The characters have been playing this role for a couple thousand years or more already. They are on the stage. Here is Jesus, the Redeemer of the world, standing there talking to them and also to his disciples. If you think that maybe it was not the law that these people were looking to, look at the very next line that Jesus says, which is brought up by, is it Mike that wrote this in to us?
Yes.
All right. So Mike, thank you very much. This is very exciting. The law and the prophets were, now were is italicized in my KJV here. So read this for us in the Greek and fill this in for us, because I'm not sure what this actually says now.
The law and the prophets up till John. Since when the basileia of God, of Theos, the kingdom of God, same word we get basilisk from, is good news, is being evangelized.
It's being preached.
Yep. Kai anthropos. No, the word man is not there. And all are being pressed into it.
That's so amazing.
That's the same all, you know, is in Romans 5:18. All is all.
So this is making sure that everybody knows there's no division here. All means all. It's not even the term anthropos. It's not even the term man.
And it's understandable how this would have been rewritten to mean every man, because A, when it happened, and B, when it was translated, it was a very patriarchal society.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, let's drop back just a moment, Don, because I want to draw this attention. It popped into my mind when Eva Mull, when the first domino dropped for her, was when she heard that Jesus said that a person that's walking in darkness knows not where they're going. And that just, it revolutionized her entire thinking. So she found out that walking in darkness, according to that statement by Jesus and John, was not sex, drugs, rock and roll, that walking in darkness was not knowing where you're going. Duh. Let's drop back to abomination. Now, we all think we know what is an abomination in the eyes of God, just like we thought we knew what walking in darkness was. But an abomination is something that is highly esteemed amongst not just people, but amongst religious people. An abomination is something that is highly valued by religious people. Well, we've got a whole different paradigm now to look at an abomination through. An abomination is something religious. An abomination has something to do with law. An abomination has something to do with the position that God placed Israel in by subjecting them to the law. And they're embracing it as a means of being righteous. All of this statement is quite similar to the one where Jesus said that not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law until all is fulfilled.
Uh-huh.
And he said the law and the prophets. Christianity always just uses the law. Oh, no, the law's not been done away with. But here is actually the same comments are being made about this subject with a different group in a bit of a different light. So the law and the prophets were until John. It's not incorrect to say were until John. That's where the law and the prophets led up to. We also have an understanding that Jesus said that John was the last prophet of the old covenant. Now, he said that since John came as the very last prophet of a long line of prophets that were assigned by the law. Now, remember, there's no such thing as a prophet that was not assigned by the law. The law appointed priests, prophets, all of these things were appointments made under the law. You see, you can't have an end to the law and not have an end to the prophets. You can't have a prophecy fulfilled unless the law's been fulfilled. Jesus made that very clear also when he said that not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law or the prophets until everything is fulfilled. Not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law until all prophecy is fulfilled, is what the clarity of the statement says. So we have then John came along. And then Jesus comes preaching the kingdom of God. What he's preaching is the kingdom of God. And he says, as he's beginning to preach it, something is happening. The whole human race is being pressed into it. I love this stuff. This is amazing. And again, thanks, Mike, for bringing this to our attention. Because I've not gone through these verses ever before and taught on them that I remember at all, ever. Have you?
No. No, well, I don't believe so.
That's why we need gospel revolutionaries.
to help us get there, yeah.
They scratch through this stuff and find things. It's like, what? Does that really say that?
Golly.
And then he says that this kingdom that's being preached, that the entire human race is being pressed into it, and says then, and it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one tittle of the law to fail. Everybody can't get into the kingdom until the law is completed. And then, oddly enough, he goes into divorce. Is the continuation subject here, or the continuing subject, to be able to emphasize what he is talking about? And we know the construct of the divorce and marriage laws is that the bride had no choice. She was pressed into it. That's the analogy that we get here, is the bride was pressed into marriage. She did not choose marriage. And when it comes time for a divorce, she can't get out of it. The divorce laws are only for men. So the only one that could get out of it is the groom. They're the only one. The husband is the only one who can get out of the marriage legally by law. So Jesus is saying an awful lot here that's terribly inclusive and conclusive.
And the very next story is the rich man and Lazarus, where Christianity gets most of its ammunition for the concept of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been down this track before, and we came to the conclusion that, if anything, this was a real crack at the religious elites who thought that the law would save them, that the law was everything they ever needed. And we had a look at that. Now, that's, I don't know, 4 or 5 power casts ago. So now you and I surely preached on Lazarus and the rich man. But why have we picked out of this whole chapter that and left the rest?
I know. Yeah, it's and that goes to show you that Christianity has defined what we're supposed to focus on. They have defined what we're supposed to look at by creating these obsessions with one thing, therefore not even reading what's before or after it at all. So we have to accept that the paradigm for this parable is set in Luke 15, 16, and 17. That's where the paradigm is set for this. The entire stage is set. So we're supposed to look at this through this lens, through the lens of verse 15, 16, and 17. I now have a set of binoculars to look at this through. I'm sure we'll have to come back to this again. But the thing that we can conclude is that Jesus had established the principles of the gospel very clearly in Luke 15, 16, and 17. And the whole concept of the gospel revolution is that the scriptures are the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, and that Jesus fulfilled all of that. He fulfilled all of it he fulfilled it in his birth, death, burial, and resurrection. In the middle of that, in the last 3 years of that segment of time, he begins to preach the gospel, and he says that the preaching of the gospel was the beginnings of the entire planet being pressed into the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And that's good news for the whole world.
Ain't it, though?
It's all good news. It's all good news. I am not a Christian. It's all good news. It's all good news. I am not a Christian.
So it seems as if there was a, and I don't like to use the word dispensation, but an aeon that covered Moses giving the law and the prophet John, John the Baptist. And there was another period of time in which the good news of the kingdom of God was being preached, and every man was being pressed into it, whether he knew it or not. And then,
including the Pharisees he was talking to.
Especially the Pharisees,
yeah,
that he
exactly.
was talking to, yes. And then on Calvary, the death of an old species and the birth of a new creation took place. So it's almost as if, and I've often wondered about this, Michael, why was there a gap? I mean, why wasn't the law and the prophets up until Calvary?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to come back at this. I'm going to have to think about this carefully.
Well, I think what he's saying here is that the law and the prophets were until John. So there was no more law given. There were no more prophets sent.
Oh, I see.
After John. So John was the last one is the emphasis here, especially referring back to the comment where Jesus said that John was the very last prophet.
That makes good sense.
Of the old covenant. Mm-hmm. So one thing we've done is address Mike's observations here of these verses. We've read them in context. So don't you just love dropping back and seeing, you know, getting the whole stage set, man? I think in pictures, and now I can see this. I can even feel the pressure of being pressed into the kingdom of God that these Pharisees are feeling.
There was recently on Facebook, I was answering somebody, and there were, you remember that place where it says, and no one dared ask him any more questions? That starts off two, three chapters earlier, where the scribes came, and then the elders came, and then the Sadducees came, and then the Pharisees, or the Pharisees came, then the Sadducees came, and then the Pharisees, not wanting to be left out of the picture, came again. And in the end, the upshot of the whole thing was, you want to take me on? Okay, here we go. And every time he answered them, they just became more and more confused and more and more unable to answer him.
Yeah,
it reminds me a bit about that.
Yeah.
Family, just a word about our podcast. They may be the best podcast on the planet. In fact, we believe they are. Not that we'd be biased in any way, but we just know that they are. But we've been having some few problems, and one has been about getting them out on time, as we did last week. That was the result of some technical mess-ups, and we're still trying to find our way through that and make sure that that doesn't recur. I'm not going to say that we are doing everything on a wing and a prayer, but we do what we do with on a shoestring budget. And if you want to do anything to help the gospel, when Mike calls you with a pledge drive, pick up your phone, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that we do is about getting the gospel out. It doesn't matter where it is, Southeast Asia, Africa, Canada, USA, South America, it just doesn't matter, any one of the 187 countries to which this podcast gets picked up in. It just doesn't matter. We are about getting the gospel out. Now, we've been having some people say, I didn't get my letter this week that the podcast is up. Well, you've just told me something very important. You just told me you don't bother going to the website because the letter always sends you to the website. Why wouldn't you go to the website? And, man, yeah, I guess some people just like a letter, and that's okay. We'll send you a letter because we like to do what you like as much as we can, and letters are pretty cheap to send out as long as it's over the internet. But we've undertaken to have all of our podcasts up by 5 p.m. on a Thursday. And we've renewed that vow to each other, that's Mike and me, because of what happened last week. We can't afford. Now, I started editing out last week's podcast on Wednesday, so I had plenty of time. But then at the last minute, I found it was totally messed up. And there were just sound artifacts, scratches. There was static, the like of which would have even the best of you giving up after 10 minutes. So It was our decision, just to Mike's and my decision, to say, listen, we will put something else out. Now, as it turned out, we were pretty pleased with what we turned out in its place. But you'll be hearing what we recorded last week. You'll be hearing it next week. But every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. at the latest, we will have, and it may even be sooner than that, we will have the podcast up for your consumption. So please forgive us for the technical difficulties we've been having. Nowhere in the plan, but it just is the way it goes. Mike Turi this week, he's had a lot of influence this week with us.
Yeah.
He said, and he quoted Bob Hines, our good friend from Georgia, "The gospel isn't some sort of existential news that becomes true because somebody believes. The gospel defined is the announcement of God's spiritual redemptive salvation of all mankind." Bob Hines. A good quote too.
A good one.
In other words, I remember years ago hearing Mike say for the very first time, truth doesn't become truth because you believe it. You believe it because it's truth.
Mm-hmm.
Truth always precedes belief. Belief never is a construct for truth or never creates truth. Truth creates belief. Remember, family, the address is www.gospelrevolution.com. If you want anything, there it is. 400 videos, 12 years of podcasts. What's that? 12 by 4 is 48 times 52. 12, I mean. We got a lot of stuff up there. Yeah, we got more articles than you'll be able to read. We've got a lot of information up there. Radio 24/7. If you want to listen to the radio, thanks to Marcel Roos in the Netherlands, you can listen to radio. You can just put it on your phone and just start listening. In fact, if you go to the website and go to audio, just click on that barcode that you find, second down from where you play the radio straight off the website, but just click on that and that will take you straight to the radio page, and you don't have to worry about it. It'll just, you can just stick it in your pocket and get ahead with your lawn mowing or your painting or whatever it is you're doing, driving to work, and you'll be able to listen to the gospel. Family, my takeaway from Christianity was, I am God and I love you so much that I created hell just in case you didn't love me back. Or to put it another way, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Jesus.
What do you want, Jesus?
I want to tell you what I'm going to do to you if you don't open the door. Now, if that sounds like pig slop to you, then you're going to love Phil Britton's book, The Greatest Gospel Truth. This is a simple yet powerful expose of how religion has thoroughly corrupted the gospel of grace and peace and how you can distinguish the truth from the lies. This book's free, by the way. Why miss out? Just go to www.greatestgospeltruth.com and download it right now. We run a value-for-value model here, and it costs us time, cash, and energy to research, produce, and maintain this free information. So if you feel that you've received real value from this podcast, I'm asking you to seriously consider sticking your hand in your pocket and donating towards it. You could always call our Florida office on area code 561-557-1329. And ask us how you can participate, or just go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the donate link. If you have any questions, here is the number, area code 234-564-0971. And for out of the United States, just add 1. So it reads your international dialing code followed by 1234564-0971. So now it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios right here in Eva, Alabama.
And it's good night from Michael Williams right here in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, 33410. This has been fun, even with all the technical difficulties. Now, Michael Turi, thanks to you, I've got to go back. I'm rereading all of chapter 24 of Matthew now. Now I've found this term abomination again in the research that I've been doing. Thanks to you, Mike, this has given me a whole perspective of the term abomination, and that's what we need, is to have clarification of some of these things that we've been told what they mean. But here we've found out that an abomination is something that is highly esteemed by religious people. I love it. Thank you so much, guys. We love you. And we will definitely be following up on this teaching and many, many more. We've got much more to teach on than what we've taught on. I can tell you that.
When Mike talks about technical difficulties, we've had four or five false start, well, actual starts and restarts today. And that was because of a Skype and Comcast connection. So just remember us. And send money. Just send money. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast, but if you didn't, remember, just because you're offended does not mean you're right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
It's going to get better.
Every time. Thank you.
Well, Mike. I loved the content. I mean, it was a wonderful PowerCast. I think you're going to enjoy it more when you're rested and you go back and listen again.
I think I will. I'm so hanging out to go to bed.
I know.
But it is what it is, and we got to get this stuff out. So I'm going to try and start editing this at least by tomorrow, probably start listening to it a little bit this afternoon.
Yeah.
And, thanks for everything, Michael.
Right. Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye, friend.
When you're feeling down or you got the case of the blues, why don't you listen to the Gospel Revolution?
Well, I hear the sound of many waters. I hear the sounds of the earth set free. I hear the feet of millions dancing. I hear a rustling in the mulberry trees. I see the eyes of Jesus laughing. I hear the Lord say, "Let light be." I see a perfect bride a-twirling. I hear the sounds of jubilee. Flow, river, flow the kingdom out of me. Flow, river, everything it touches is set free. Flow, river, flow the kingdom out of me. Touches is set free. I hear the sound of many waters. I hear the sounds of the earth set free. I hear the feet of millions dancing. I hear a rustling in the mulberry trees. I see the eyes of Jesus laughing. And I hear the Lord say, "Let light be." I see a perfect bride a-twirling. I hear the sounds of jubilee. Flow, river, flow the kingdom out of me. Touches is set free. Flow, river, flow the kingdom out of me. Flow, river, everything it touches is set free. Sons of God rejoicing, and I see everything is redeemed. I see Eden's boundary spreading, covering the earth, covering the sea. I see a people with the key of David. I see a world of kings and priests. Flow, river, flow the kingdom out of me. Flow, river, everything it touches is set free. I hear a sound, I feel a sound, I see sound that's flowing from the throne, flowing from the throne. I hear a sound, I feel a sound, I see sound that's flowing from the throne, flowing from the throne. In my belly, I know the kingdom's within me. I see the sons of God rejoicing, and I see everything is redeemed. I see Eden's boundary spreading, covering the earth, covering the sea. I see a people with the key of David. I see a world of kings and priests. Flow, river, flow, river, I flow the kingdom out of me. Flow, river, flow, river, everything it touches is set free. Flow, river, flow, river, I flow the kingdom out of me. Flow, river, flow, river, everything it touches is set free. I am the sound, you are the sound, we are sound that's flowing from the throne, flowing from the throne. I am the sound, you are the sound, we are sound. We're the sound that's flowing from the throne. The hope of glory is Christ in you.